when the believers were persecuted at the hands of Saul of Tarsus. You remember Saul, of course, gets saved in the very next chapter, in chapter 9. But Saul was out and he was hunting down Christians. And he was, the word says, he was hailing them or hauling them into prison. And he stood there and held the coats and the garments of those who stoned Stephen. So he was all about that. And he was one that led the charge. So we see that that was taking place there at the beginning. Stephen had, again, recently been martyred there, as you see that in chapter 7. And it created a scattering, the persecution that took place. So we'll just read a few verses here. In Acts chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, it says, "As for Saul," now of course Saul later becomes Paul after he gets saved, "but as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." The believers were, "We've got to get out of here." So the Lord had told them to take the word of God, to take the gospel, and, you know, to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So that really wasn't happening yet. And I'm not saying that they were resisting. You know, they lived there in Jerusalem. So this is where they were getting around and telling folks about the Lord and about what he did in their lives. But the Lord was talking about a true scattering. So he allowed some persecution to make that happen. And zealous believers went to tell others about their great Savior. And was a man by the name of Philip. And he ended up going to Samaria, ministry there in Samaria. But we'll read these first few verses to show you that God was blessing that. Verse Samaria, "and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed, which he did." So Philip went down to Samaria, and Samaria was not a place of Jews. They weren't, in their sight, they weren't real Jews. And so there was this, when Jews usually went through Samaria, they didn't usually go through it. They went around it. They did a quick Samaritans, but he walked around it. They just, there was just not good feelings towards that I got, that I have, where I got saved. And they need to hear about that, using him, salvation. And so, so as the Lord was clean spirits, crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Great joy was happening in that city. Now, when we look at Philip, we see some things about Philip. And that's what we're going to take a look at here as we look at how the Lord's going to use Philip here at the end of this chapter from verses 26 through 40. And we're going to see some qualities about Philip that really need to be a part of our life as believers. And so with that, let's go ahead and we'll have a word of prayer. We'll ask God to bless this time as we look in his word. Father, we thank you today, and we're grateful to be able to come together and have be able to come together for church, to be able to fellowship with one another. Thank you for those that are visiting. Thank you for those that are here for the baptism. Thank you for those getting baptized. I'm excited about that. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunities that we have in our country that we can meet freely. And Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings that you have poured out unto us. And we thank you for recording this particular account of everything that took place with Philip and things that were happening in Samaria and how people got saved and how lives were changed. But then we also see this account of how you called him to go minister to one man. And we pray, Lord, that as we look at this, we'll see some things about Philip, and we'll see the things that took place in this account, and may it register in our hearts. May we have ears to hear today. May we be all tuned in and looking unto you to work into our hearts for those of us here that are believers that have trusted Christ. And we pray for anybody here without Christ, Lord, we pray that you'll work in their hearts and show them how they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as this Ethiopian eunuch realized that, something was working in his heart, and you sent Philip along to open up the gospel to him, and that man got saved, and then got baptized right after that. So we pray that you'll speak to our hearts and help us to see the things that we need to see. We pray for the Lord Jesus Christ to be lifted up and glorified in all of this, and I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work in each and every heart today. All of you, thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to take a look at some, let's take a look at some of these qualities and ask the Lord to develop those particular things in our own lives for those of us that are believers. Now, the first thing that I want to see about him, obviously a flexibility about Philip. Verses 26 and 27. So we're going to, and it says this in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went." He arose and went. Philip is somebody who is ready and prepared for whatever the Lord has in mind for him to do. You can see that he has that mindset. Now, herein is a very underestimated quality of being flexible, yet it is a highly valuable one for us to learn how to be flexible. In my years of experience and just living to the age that I've lived to, I see this in very limited supply. People, we don't really like to be, called on to be flexible. We don't really like changes, do we? It's the ability to bend easily without breaking, especially to be able to adapt to sudden changes. That's never fun, right? Especially in regard to spiritual things. There are times when the Lord would have us to make a change midstream or just at the drop of a hat. The Lord is wanting to get us to a place where we're willing to do that. This is what happened with Philip. He is having this ministry going on in Samaria. Great things were happening. Right then, the angel of the Lord calls Philip to go and to go to Gaza. Now, you know, again, that none of us are given to change. It's just not part of our DNA. You know, I'm in the middle of my schedule, and I'm seeking to get things done, and I'll get a text from my wife. Can you pick up some tortillas at the store on the way home for dinner tonight? And I'm like, tortillas, what does she think, man? I got a tight schedule here. And now I got to run to Walmart or Winco and pick up some tortillas? I mean, come on, really? And then I go and, you know, go in the store, and I'm making this tremendous sacrifice, right? Going into, you know, well, it's a bit of a sacrifice anymore. I mean, you just look at the crowds anymore, right? And go into Winco or Walmart and go get the tortillas, and I'm starting to head. And oh, and there's another text. Oh, and can you get some tomatoes also? Man, that's just like, how do you deal with that, right? Listen, you know what I'm talking about. Changes are not something that we embrace. We don't like things to upset our apple cart. We don't like things to upset our routines. So being flexible is not something that we're usually born with. Now, Philip, because of the persecution, he goes down to Samaria and he begins to preach Christ. And great things, again, were taking place there in the city. I read that verse and there was great joy in that city there in verse 8. So no doubt, people are getting their hearts right with God. People are getting saved. Some good things are happening. But out of nowhere, when we went and read in verse 26, out of nowhere, the angel of the Lord directs him to go unto Gaza to witness to one man. And Philip heads down there immediately. Philip hears the call of God, and he goes immediately. In verses 27 and 28, and we read the first part of verse 27. I'll read that again. It says, "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." And then verse 28, was returning. He's returning back to Ethiopia, back to Africa. And he's returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. That's Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet. So he's sitting in his carriage and he's reading. It's very likely that he didn't even know what he was going to find. Now, I'm not talking about the Ethiopian eunuch, but I'm talking about Philip. Philip was told by the angel of the Lord, go all the way down to Gaza. And he just knew this. He knew it was of God. He knew God had called him to go down to Gaza. I've got to go. I don't know all of the details. I just know God's calling me to go. Which begs the question, how well would you and I do with plans? Think about the change, the sudden change of plans that maybe we've experienced in our lives. What about a sudden change of plans of a short or a long-term illness that besets us? It puts you and I in a whole new circumstance, around a whole new sphere of people. How have we dealt with something like that? What about when your pastor pulls you from maybe one ministry and places you in another? Isn't there a part of us that says, that was my ministry? No. It all belongs to God. And sometimes we're asked to do something different and we have a hard time with that. What about a literal change of location, maybe to another state, and it just comes, well, this has happened, my job, I have no choice, and we're going to have to just deal with it. It doesn't come easily, does it? Because changes are a difficult thing. They're challenging. Sometimes we get so locked into our routines. Maybe it's a ministry that we just get too possessive of. Or some of the other things that I may have mentioned. It would be good for us to realize that, folks, we really possess nothing. It all belongs to God. It all belongs unto Him. And if we have that mindset, then you know what? We won't have our hands just dug into something as if it's just ours. You know, it all belongs to God. And I have to remind myself of that, but it's good for every one of us to remind ourselves of that very thing. If we're to be flexible and resilient and ready, then we're going to have to learn how to be in touch with the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. We have to learn how to walk with God. It says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us learn how to walk in the Spirit. Otherwise, folks, we'll end up giving ourselves to complaining. The Bible says that we're to do all things without murmurings and disputings. But if we find ourselves, if you have a reason for this, then we might find ourselves, from where he was in Samaria was somewhere around 60 to 70 miles. All right, six, maybe he did. Maybe he ran that distance a good ways. It had to have taken him probably several days. My brother, who's into bicycling, just took a bicycle here from Sandpoint up through Bonner's Ferry up into Canada, over to western direction of Canada, down back into Washington, and over about 350, right about Joe, right 350 miles in about 7 days. Well, you know, I don't think Philip had a bicycle. Okay, I don't think they had them back then. Now maybe he had a horse. Maybe he had to do some running. Maybe it took several days. But you know what? He's called by the Lord to go to Gaza, and it's probably taken him a few days to get those 60 to 70 miles in. So now Philip finds himself in Gaza. And probably for a short time, maybe he wonders. You know, he's human. He gets there. We don't get the idea that he knew what this mission was about. He's just called by the angel of the Lord, by the Lord himself, to go to Gaza. So he's just going to go. Yes, Lord, I'm going to go. But he gets there and he's got to be wondering, well, maybe for a short time, why am I here, Lord? What is it? And in time, the Holy Spirit speaks to him and tells him what he's there to do. Verse 29, it says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. He pointed that out. Philip knew what he was looking at. There's a chariot right there. And the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, says to Philip, join yourself to that chariot. And Philip certainly obeys. The first part of verse 30, it says, and Philip ran thither to him. Philip runs to that chariot, and Philip now hears a man, this Ethiopian eunuch, who's sitting in that chariot, reading out from the book of Isaiah. And he asks the question, understandest what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? He says that right there at the end of verse 30. He says he ran to him and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest what thou readest. Now let me bring out this next point unto you that is important for us that we should embrace. Certainly we should be flexible, but also we as servants of the Lord need to be observant and we need to be instructive. We need to be observant of situations around us, and we need to be instructive, sometimes by just saying very little, just observing and seeing what we have. Is that how we go about each day? Do we observe? Do we say, Lord, would you show me, reveal this thing, some things to me? Sometimes we just end up just getting too active. Sometimes we talk too much. Sometimes we don't observe enough. The Bible says that we're to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. And you know why? It's been important for us to just listen and see what the Lord is directing us to do. Be a little bit more observant about things and not so quick to maybe come to conclusions and so quick to speak about things. So it's very, very clear. I don't know if Philip prayed this in these few seconds before asking that question. My guess is that he did. I believe that he looked unto the Lord and asked the Lord, help me, Lord. What do you want me to say to this man who's there in that chariot? Obviously, he's a man of importance. That's no ordinary chariot that I'm running up to. Help me. What am I supposed to say? But it certainly ought to be our prayer as we deal with somebody who doesn't know the Lord. Lord, would you help me? Lord, please give me the right words to say. Help me as I work with somebody who doesn't know with the Lord or doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me with the things that I ought to say. Paul said this to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 and verse 27. He said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. You know, he prompted Agrippa to some thinking. And you remember Agrippa's response? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, he said to Paul. You've almost persuaded me to trust this Jesus Christ. He got him to thinking. The Lord uses that. I think of what the Lord Jesus said to an impotent man who could barely get around. The Lord Jesus looked at him in John chapter 5 and he said, wilt thou be made whole? Sir, wilt thou be made whole? And that man was thinking, do I want to be whole? Well, isn't that obvious? And the man just said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. Listen, folks, the right questions prompt the proper response. Not that God needs it, but it is what he wants to use. He wants us to engage. He wants us to have some interaction, and he uses it, but he wants it to be led by him. And may we learn to go to the Lord and ask him for that wisdom. So when Philip asks, understandest what thou readest, the eunuch responds with, well, in verse 31, he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Not that the Ethiopian eunuch was unlearned or uneducated. I'm sure he was a very smart man, but we're talking about spiritual things here. We're talking about the Word of God. And he said, well, how can I understand this except some man should guide me and show me? And then he says, just come right up here with me. Come and join me. Come sit up here with me. And Philip jumps right in and hears the man as he continues to read out of Isaiah. He's reading out of Isaiah chapter 53. That is that great, the suffering Savior chapter in Isaiah chapter 53. I have no doubt that the Lord was waiting for that eunuch to get to that chapter. And then that's when the Lord called Philip. Now, the Lord is so good and the Lord knows how to do the math because Philip took wherever, how many days it took him to get all the way up down to Gaza. The Lord knew it's going to take him 3 days. Well, I may have to give him a little prompting now and then, you know, and get back to running or whatever. But he knew how long it was going to take him to get there. And he knew right when that Ethiopian eunuch was going to be reading right in that passage. Well, that just tells you some things about God knows all of the details in our life. And if we're aware of that, then it really puts us at ease knowing that, Lord, you know timing so well. Sometimes we're eager to want things to happen in our lives, right? Are you like me? You can nod your head. That will help me out, okay? Because I'm just kind of hanging here. Yeah, we want things to happen right away because just the way we're wired, you know. I want patience, and I want it now, right? You know, off of that goofy joke. Yeah, well, listen, we want things to happen right now. But if we'll back off of it, because you know timing, and you know when things work best. And so help me to learn that lesson in life that I want to just go on your timetable. That's why the Lord, I want to go according to your time frame. Would you teach me that? That takes patience. And that's why the Lord wants us to have patience. Patience is never fun to have to learn. But if we'll learn to get here, point where all right, Lord, you've got this all down. And that's exactly what he had here. He's definitely called Philip several days before, and he's going to get him right there, right at the moment, when this man's reading right at that passage. So God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing when we have some divine appointments. You have a divine appointment and you bump into somebody and you walk over and say, no, that was no coincidence. Not if we know the Lord. We as believers would say, no, thank you for that. And I'll just rest with that and just trust that you're doing something. So God is in the timing. He's so wise. He is the all-wise God, isn't he? And let's acknowledge that and just praise him for what he does in our lives. So he jumps in there and he hears him reading out of the book of Isaiah. And I have no doubt that the Lord, again, he's waiting for that. So he's moment. And when he does, again, he called Philip to come and to do that. So here's a reading here in Isaiah 53 in verses 7 and verse 8. And so we see that here in Acts. We won't turn to Isaiah, but he's reading out of Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. And verses 32 and 33 are those verses. So we read that, and it says here, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. And verse 33, in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So in verse 34, the eunuch, it says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, will you help me here? I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Who's this prophet speaking of? Is he speaking of himself or of some other man? So the eunuch is looking again for help, and he doesn't understand this, and he's wanting to know something. He's wanting to have some light on the subject. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, before we came to Christ, we were just in darkness. Our hearts were darkened. And the Bible says that the God of this world, that small g, is the devil. It's very, very clear. And he had us in his grasp. He had us in his cap. He held us captive. Praise God. When we got saved, somebody was praying for us. The word of God did something. A light was shined in our heart. And God opened up something. And you know how when you're in a completely dark room and the light shines, you take notice of it. You open up a door. It cracks open. The light shines in. And boy, that's sometimes that's not always a blessed disruption. You know, in the middle of the night when you're trying to sleep, sometimes you don't appreciate light. But when you're trying to find something, you appreciate light. And when that light shined in our hearts, it showed us something. It revealed something to us. Man, I'm lost. I need God. I remember when that took place in my life. And I remember I didn't understand how to get saved. I didn't understand I needed to trust Christ as my personal Savior. But I understood something. But my life is empty. I need something. I need God. God had done that in my heart, and he'd done that in my life. And we pray that if you're without Christ, that God opens up something and in your heart, and you begin to go, man, I'm in need of something. I need something that he has. And what he has is he has eternal life through his Son. So he says, who is this prophet speaking of, himself or some other man? Well, we know who he's speaking of. We know who Isaiah was speaking of. So now the door has just been thrown wide open. And Philip makes the most of it. So when this man says, is this prophet speaking of himself or some other man? Philip says, no, I'll tell you who he's speaking of. And in verse 35, it says here, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He said, he is speaking about someone named Jesus. And he preaches to him the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the third thing that we'll bring up about Philip, is that he takes the opportunity to preach Christ. That's what he did when he went to Samaria. He preached Christ unto them. He has this opportunity now to talk to this man who's an Ethiopian eunuch. And when the door opens up, he preaches Christ to them. And so should you and I when there's an opportunity. Amen? When we see that opportunity, let's make sure to ask the Lord, Lord, help me not to freeze up. but help me to tell this person who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, help me to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for us to draw the net at that point, to at least encourage them. Well, Jesus Christ, he's talking about Christ. Christ died for you on a cross. Do you realize that Jesus paid a price for your sins when he went to the cross? The Bible says the just for the unjust. The Bible says that Jesus Christ never committed any sin. And yet when he went to the cross, he became the transgressor in our place. He became a sinner in our place, the one who had never sinned. He took all of our sins upon him. And he died and was buried, but 3 days later he rose from the grave. And he conquered death. And he'll give you eternal life as well if you'll put your trust and faith in him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can be saved by trusting in Jesus Christ. So as they continue on, the eunuch sees a certain water, as it says here. And maybe it was a lake. But in verse 36, he says this, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, listen, that just kind of came out of nowhere to me. I mean, the Ethiopian eunuch is, he's talking to him about the Lord. He's preaching unto him Jesus. And he said, hey, here's some water. What's keeping me from getting baptized? You know, listen, sometimes the devil will use a lost person to say something to get you off track. And I've had that happen before. I'm telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I've got a question. Where did Cain get his wife? that's a good question. Maybe we'll save that little curveball, okay? And listen, that's kind of what happens here. Hey, there's water. What's hindering me to get baptized? Now, praise the Lord, Philip didn't fall for it. He just continued right on. He goes right to this. With all thine heart, thou mayest. You can be baptized if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, is what he's saying. The Son of God. And said, I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ in Christ for who died for you on the cross. And the Ethiopian eunuch made it clear that he had be seven in Christ for salvation. That either happened in verse 35 or it happened right there. So the matter and says, well, yes, you can be baptized, but you need to come to know and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, because that baptism, that water's not going to do anything for you. Those who get baptized after the service, that water's not taking away any of their sins. That's a picture of what that when they got saved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that they were placed into the body of Christ. It happened spiritually. You didn't see it. But the Lord says, I want it to be done physically so that you can see what's taken place. When we stand up in that water in believer's baptism, we're identifying with Christ on the cross. And when we go down, we're identifying with his burial, which is Romans chapter 6, right at the beginning of that chapter. And then when we come out, and the folks that I'm baptizing, hopefully they hope that I'm getting them up pretty quickly on that third point. Don't talk too long on the second point. And when you bring me back up, that's a picture of Christ risen again. Back from the grave, who's risen and who's conquered death. And that's the promise that we have as believers, that we identify with that resurrection as well. Great passage there in Romans chapter 6, and we won't take the time to look at that. It's to just be able to proclaim and say, listen, everybody, I got saved maybe 2 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, or maybe in this particular account, just maybe 10 minutes ago. And now I want to get baptized, that Ethiopian eunuch says. And he says, well, let's get baptized. And so it's an opportunity to proclaim and say, everybody, I just want to let you know I got saved. And I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So there in verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And then verse 39, and after he baptizes him, I love what happens here. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. After Philip brings him up and he's done baptizing him, it says that the Lord caught away Philip and he was gone. Now, sometimes that happens to me too when I'm ready to go to lunch real quick, but no. No, but Philip was just taken supernaturally, and he was gone. And the eunuch said, well, he's gone. Ah, but look what I've got. I've trusted Christ, and I was able to be baptized for him. And you know, he took the gospel to Ethiopia. He took the gospel, and there in the palace, you know, he was a servant of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. You know that in the palace, he was like, hey, I've got some good news to tell you. And the word got spread. And then we read here in verse 40, it says, but Philip was found at Azotus, another city. Azotus is right there on the coast, not too far from Gaza. And he no doubt made his way back up to Caesarea where he lived. And probably eventually he goes back into Samaria again to minister to those people that he's ministering to. But all along the way, he's preaching and telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some great qualities that we see with Philip. We see that he was just flexible. We see that he was flexible to do what God had called him to do at the spur of the moment. He was willing to do that. He was willing to be observant and instructive by just looking unto the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to say to this man? Understandest what thou readest? Well, how can I except some man should guide me? And then just preaching Christ. May we just learn how to just preach Christ. Let's not Christ. Talk about ourselves. Let's not talk about our opinions, but let's tell people how Jesus Christ is the answer. And then what a great thing to see this man get saved and then deal with what God's called us to do. We take a look at somebody here, and it's a good model for us. Lord, would you help me to just be flexible? Would you use me in whatever capacity you want? Help me to understand that whatever I may be doing for you now, that I don't have possession of that. I may just be a good steward of that. Maybe my pastor says, I want you to go and I want you to fulfill this other duty. Help me to just be yielded to the Spirit of God. Help me in every situation to be spiritually minded, to be looking at situations and to be praying, Lord, is there somebody I could be witnessing to here? Is there somebody that you might line me up with that I could tell them about Christ? And Lord, help me to be faithful. Amen. Christ to them, to tell them about what Jesus has done in my life. Amen. Hope and desire for you is that you come to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'd like you to bow your heads at this point. We'll bow our heads and we'll go before the Lord in prayer in just a moment with your heads bowed. Has God spoken to your heart, Christian? You're a believer in Christ. Maybe he's speaking to your heart about maybe possessing some qualities that we see in this faithful servant, Philip, being flexible, being so to just make a change at the drop of the hat, at the drop of a hat, if that's what the Lord so wants to deems in our life. May we just be willing to serve him at whatever capacity that he wants us to. May we to be used. May we be observant. May we walk in the Spirit. May we just stay in this book and help the Lord, ask the Lord to help us to be discerning and to look at situations and to just pray that he'd give us wisdom in whatever situations that we find ourselves in. And then might we always be out telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today without Christ, we'd love to see you get saved. There's just nothing better than knowing Jesus Christ. As this account that we read of in the Bible, we thank you for Philip and his faith for help us with some of the things that we struggle with. Having to make changes is not something that to help are a fan of, but help us to be willing to make whatever changes that you bring about. Help us to be useful in your hands. Help us to be a witness for Christ. Let's take a hymn book. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and then just invite you to do some business with God here this afternoon.